breaking Rangers news now.
Let's head to the ballpark. CJ Wilson addressing the media.
Start right up here in front.
Hi. When you found out your opponent, what came to your mind?
Well, overall, yesterday was just a crazy day, you know, for all of baseball. I think I don't remember the last time that no team knew who they were playing or where they were playing or what was going on. So I was watching our game, I was watching the Red Sox game, I was watching the Yankees game, kind of all at the same time. I was just thinking, this is the craziest, that's all I could think of, this is the craziest pair of games going on at the same time ever right now. So I don't really, you know, care as long as we're at home. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, obviously I've pitched against all the teams so far this year, and I've had some good success against Tampa, so I'm going to look to continue that.
First row right in front of you.
Cedric Bailey, Libido News. First of all, CJ, back here for the second year in a row, you were the guy a few years ago that they brought in off the bench, and now here you are at the top, the number one man. Has this all sunk in yet, and how was the team experience from last night coming back in?
Well, they flew me ahead, so I wasn't there for like all the high fives and stuff when Napoli hit the two home runs yesterday, but obviously for us to get home field is a big deal. You know, we feel very confident. We have for a couple of years that the organization's going in the right direction. You know, we made a lot of transitions from top to bottom with coaching staff, with ownership, you know, personnel. And I think we're all just really happy to be part of a winning tradition now, you know, doing it 2 years in a row after not really having done it since I had signed in 2001 into college. You know, it feels pretty good to be part of that. And, you know, I guess it feels really good to be a big part of that as a starting pitcher. So I'm proud of where we've come as an organization, but also that people are talking us, you know, up about, wow, look at all these innings that our starters threw, and look at all the wins these guys got. And it's nice to be one of those guys.
In the back of the room on the right.
You guys had to win the last six and 14 of 16 to get home field advantage. And, of course, obviously we know what the Rays had to do to get in the playoffs. But going into this series, the irony that last year in the series, nobody won at home. Talk about that a little bit. And does the home field advantage really mean as much as everybody makes it seem?
Well, you know, I think looking at it last year, we, you know, Cliff and I won on the road last year, but it didn't really have anything to do with being on the road or at home. It's not like, you know, we had a particular disadvantage there. Cliff was a great pitcher, you know, and I pitched a good game, so I think that's why we won. You know, if your starting pitchers go out there and give up one total run in two games, then you're probably going to win both those games, if not. You know, then you know, be slapping each other around the clubhouse a little bit.
Anthony up here on the right.
It is CJ Wilson live from the ballpark on the ticket.
You approach this year to the playoffs. It's last year was kind of a Cliff-led rotation. This year it's a CJ-led rotation. Anything different for you in your approach?
No, I mean, every time you go out there, you're trying to win. You know, you're trying to throw a shutout just like you would in the regular season, so it's the same kind of thing. The only thing is, you know, I got a lot of advice last year from people that had been there and I'd never been there. Now that I've been there, I know kind of what to expect. Obviously, this kind of stuff is a little bit different than regular season. But other than that, it's not like they, you know, have a different lineup. They're going to have the same lineups pretty much that they had during the regular season against me. So, you know, knowing that, I feel, you know, like it's, even though we found out the last minute, I have all my notes and all the video and all that stuff to go through, and I feel prepared.
Right here in the center.
With your wide variety of interests off the field, how are you able to separate that and keep your focus on the game when you need to keep it on the game?
Well, during the game, well, I guess that's a kind of an odd question, but I understand, you know, that I'm an odd guy, you know, so it makes sense. But the reality is that everybody has stuff off the field. Some guys have families, wives, dogs, you know, businesses on the side. I have businesses on the side and, you know, hobbies that just happen to be in the creative field or whatever. So for me, those things are actually a nice diversion, because if I spend too much time worrying about baseball, it's sort of like, you know, there's like a samurai proverb where if you can over-sharpen your knife and eventually it gets dull, you know, so that's kind of the case there. You have to have different interests for different purposes in your life, and you have to have different parts of your personality expressed through different stuff. Obviously, I'm not out there reinventing, you know, molecular biology on the field and throwing strikes, so that's really the main focus. There's not a lot of, you know, there's only so much baseball that you can take before you kind of... So with someone like me, I guess. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. But when I'm away from the field, you know, and I don't have anything to do and I think too much about baseball, then I tend to press. And it allows me to relax and enjoy the game a lot more when I have light switches that I can turn on and off. And that way, when I'm at the field or when I'm pitching, it's all 100%. I give everything I can, and then I'm absolutely spent at the end of the game. And I can go home kind of satisfied that I've spent everything, if that makes sense.
On the left, Evan.
CJ, where do you think you are as a pitcher at this point going into the playoffs last year versus, you know, the before going into the playoffs last year?
Well, this year, you know, I feel like I've been a lot more consistent, you know, just from an inning standpoint. I was out there, you know, pretty much 6 2/3, 7 1/3, like almost every start. I had a couple games where I went, you know, 8, a couple games where I went 5. But other than that, you know, I feel like I've learned how to settle into that routine of throwing most of the game, which is a big adjustment, obviously, you know, because a lot of people, you know, have seen me now, so it's, I'm not sneaking up on anybody with the backdoor cutter, you know, with the, you know, slider in the dirt. It's kind of like they know what's coming, and I've been able to kind of stay ahead of the adjustments and stuff through the scouting process. And health-wise, I mean, last year I was scuffling when I had the blister problem all year and was just really hoping that I would get enough time in between starts to heal it, but now I have more of a routine for that as well, and so I don't really think there's anything physically holding me back at this point like there was last year.
Second row, center.
You mentioned your interests off the field, and I know a lot of athletes more and more get involved in Twitter, and you're a very active guy in that respect. I mean, how much is that an outlet for you with fans, or is it something to kind of get your mind off things? Or, you know?
Definitely doesn't get my mind off anything. You know, like I, if anything, it gets my mind on stuff because it's a news feed. You know, like I don't really watch a lot of TV other than, you know, I watch Formula One racing, I watch Shark Week. And then other than that, like, I may watch baseball. I don't, like, now that loss is over, I have nothing to watch on TV. So I don't really follow what's going on unless I get it through Twitter. I feel like I'm really busy all the time, and Twitter enables me to stay engaged with what's going on everywhere. So, like, yesterday with the baseball stuff that was going on, I was able to see kind of like, oh, well, who's starting today, you know, all that stuff. What's the score? I was getting updates through, you know, the guys that tweet about that stuff, but more than anything, it's helped me thicken my skin a lot because you have a lot of people on there that are just going to be like, you're accessible as a player, obviously, so someone wants to, you know, drop harsh language on you or, you know, express a distaste for your team or your city or your left-handedness or your blue glove or whatever, they're going to do it, and you have to sit there and take it and then, like, find a way to be positive about it. So, I think the biggest thing is, it's sort of a maturity thing where you try not to overly engage the negative fans because there's a very big trap with that. I mean, like, I'm a relatively G-rated personality off the field, so there's not only so much I can say, you know. Like, I told a guy to wash his mouth out with soap yesterday, and I was very proud of myself for limiting it to that because, obviously, if he was in the tunnel down here, I would say something completely different. But, you know, you got to maintain the professionalism and stuff, and that's the biggest challenge I think you see with all the other sports as well. You know, guy like Herm Edwards has a thing. He's like, look, reread that 3 times before you send it, you know. And I know some people do need that. I mean, I've been doing social media stuff for 8 years now, so it's kind of old hat. But, you know, I think Twitter is sort of, it's fun. But for me, it's mostly a promotional tool for my charity and for my off-the-field interests, whether it's my racing team or my friends, DJs or whatever, you know, all that stuff.
Take a few more, Jeff. In the
it is CJ Wilson live from the ballpark here on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
Can you run us through last night? You said you flew back a little bit early. Were you watching the games by yourself? Were you scrolling through on iPads and TVs? Like, what happened last night, and what was your reaction to everything that was going on?
Yeah, not to brag, but I have a very large TV at home. So I was watching on that. I also had the second. I'm a second screener, you know. I'm big on that. I like to have the iPad at MLB at Bat app, or I have my laptop always going. So I'm like doing this, doing that, doing this, you know. But I went out to dinner last night, and the end of all the games were on at the same time. So the Braves game and the Tampa game and the Rangers game were all on, and they were just cycling through them on TV at the restaurant I was at. And so when Napoli hit the home run, you know, in the ninth or whatever, I pretty much lost my mind. I had a mouthful of food though, so I couldn't really yell. But the people that I was with, they knew, you know, I was obviously very invested in the game. So I was like, ah! You know, so it was great. I was really happy. It's an awesome feeling. I just wish I could have been there to high five everybody. But at the same point, I got to sleep last night a decent hour, and everybody else got in at like 4. So, you know, I'm not missing that jet lag at all.
How big is your TV?
It's a rental house, but it came furnished, so I think it's like a 70-inch. But the guy actually had one in the other room that was even bigger. And I was like, I walked in and I said, "You're going to leave this behind?" He's like, "Well, I can't fit it in my car." And I was like, "Well, obviously, it's like the size of this thing, you know." But it's literally, like, I think, like, this dude that I'm renting the house from here in Dallas, I think he's one of those dudes that's like, he's like Jerry Jones. He's like, if you can get a bigger TV, you're going to get a bigger TV, you know. It's just like the way you do it. So he's like, look at the size of this thing. It's literally bigger than my arm span, so it's got to be 72 inches or something like that, at least 75 inches. It's very large.
Jeff, right here in the front.
You've become known as a really dedicated to your fitness and conditioning. Who turned you on to that, and when did you realize that was a key to your success?
God, there's so many funny ways to answer that question. I was always someone that, like, took baseball seriously. Even as a little kid, I was too serious, you know. So I just, because I wanted to be a really good baseball player, I felt like if I was in really good shape, or I could run faster, run far, or throw hard, or whatever, it would help me. But I didn't really understand the science behind it as well, because I was so consumed with playing the game itself that I wasn't really worried about periodizing my training, my nutrition, anything like that, until I had Tommy John surgery in 2003. And that year and a half that I missed, I got my certification to be a personal trainer. I got a nutrition license. I got all sorts of stuff, because, like, I have nothing else to do. I have to go to rehab for 2 hours a day, and then I'm stuck here in Surprise, Arizona. There's nothing going on. So I have to get myself better as a baseball player somehow. And then it was like, okay, well, if I'm going to be a relief pitcher, I need more power. So I need to, like, start squatting more, doing Olympic lifting, stuff like that. Even though at the time, like, the people that were running our strength and conditioning program said that that was all the worst stuff to do. I was doing football lifts and everything. And then as I came back from surgery, I started throwing harder. And I'm like, oh, hey, look, getting stronger works. Look at that, you know. And then as I transitioned into being a starter, I knew that I had to reinvent myself again, which was more towards, like, health and longevity and stamina, which are totally different than max power, you know, per pitch or whatever. It's two different energy systems. So then I started reading more books on, you know, marathon running and, like, endurance training and stuff like that. And it's always, this is a constant thing. Now I do that cryo sauna thing. I did that today, you know, froze in my underwear, and that was cool. So, I mean, maybe next year it'll be something different, but it's like everything layers on top of itself. So I just decreasingly have, or I have less and less free time with each year, because I decided to do more and more stuff to put it all together, which is okay, because I like to party.
We'll take two more. We'll run right down the center here.
CJ, as you watched the game on last night and you saw them come back against the Yankees, you guys were in a similar series against the Angels, had a big lead on them, and they came back on you guys. You know they're coming in here, and you remember last year. So how do you keep your team focused on staying, knowing that what this team is capable of doing, CJ?
Yeah, that's the thing. Obviously, we're in the playoffs. It's not like you're playing. This is not spring training anymore. Every game counts. You know, every run counts. And, you know, I remember Benji Molina said something last year, and he's like, you know, if we score one, that means they have to score two. You know, that's the way you got to think of it. If you give up one, that means that we have to score two to get it back, in order to get the lead back or whatever, you know, if you're 0-0. Every run's really important. And a team like Tampa that has the sort of chaos offense where they bunt and they run and they, you know, do a lot of stuff, they're going to be very active, obviously. We all know that. And they steal bases, and they, you know, they sometimes swing at the first pitch, sometimes they squeeze. So you have to be on your guard at all times as a pitcher. And I think one of the things for us is, we still have a little bit of a bad taste in our mouths from how last year ended, you know, losing here at home in the World Series. Obviously, there's a lot of glory on the way there, but, you know, we're all looking to win the whole thing. That's why we're here. So every day in spring training, we would talk about it. Every day during the season, we've been talking about it. Somebody on the team every day has had it in their mind that we're going to win this year, and that's the confidence that we have. And at the same time, it's a work ethic that we put into it. So we feel like we have the sweat equity to be confident.
Last one, Evan on the left.
CJ, some guys have described you, and maybe I think you may have even used...
Which guys?
I'm not going to reveal my sources here.
This is a shocker.
But the word perfectionist has come up. I think on occasion you've used that word yourself. On the mound, are you a perfectionist? And, I mean, is that a blessing? Is it a curse? Or is it a combination of the two?
I wouldn't say it's a curse. I wouldn't say it's a blessing, really. It's a choice. And everything I do is deliberate. You know, I don't just wake up and, like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to do this today. Like, I have everything planned out and thought out. It's about having a plan and executing it. Every once in a while, you're going to make mistakes. Now, obviously, as a pitcher, you hold the ball. You hold all the cards. It's your choice to throw what you want to throw. And it just comes down to your execution. You know, the more mechanically, like, fluid you are, then the more you're able to repeat your delivery and throw strikes to the exact part you want to throw, or sometimes throw balls, you know, because that's important too. You got to throw outside of the strike zone in order to get guys to chase or to set guys up by backing off the plate. I'm never satisfied, you know. Like, obviously, I've had a lot of good games this year and last year, and like I said, last year we went to the World Series, and a lot of people around the area were like, "Well, this is the most amazing thing ever," and I was like, "Well, we didn't win," you know. And so people were like, "Hey, congratulations, you guys made it." And it's like, so, you know, we haven't won a series yet, you know, we haven't won a game yet in the playoffs. Like, it's a whole new year. We can't rest back on anything. We have to go out there and charge through and use our experience from last year as a strength, you know, and not as a comfort. Because there's nothing comfortable about the playoffs in that regard. You can't sit back and look at a team that won, I think they won 91 games or whatever. Obviously, they're a very good team. You know, we played against them. Shields is a great pitcher. David Price is a great pitcher. They have good relievers and they have good hitters. So there's nobody that you're going to take lightly, you know, in the playoffs. And especially a team that's played in the World Series, that's, you know, played hot against a lot of good teams at the end of the season like Tampa has.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ Wilson.